Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we have a very, very special guest. And the reason I feel that he's exceptionally special is that he's a young man, 13 years of age, who decided he was going to share knowledge that he has acquired about how to be healthier because he loves to cook. This is a youngster that absolutely has a passion for food, but in a way that we don't expect most 13-year-olds to be. And so I want to welcome Dominic Cura to the show. Dominic, you're in Seattle right now, are you not?
I am.
Wonderful. Now, Dominic, when I first got the email from you regarding your book, I was really intrigued because I don't know of many 13-year-olds that are interested in writing. I have a very good friend who is now 17, who at the age of 8 wrote his first novel. But those types of situations are very, very rare. Here you are. You ended up finding out that you have a condition called celiac.
Celiac disease.
And I was chatting with you just a moment ago before we went on air, and I ask you, when was this discovered? So would you share that with my audience, your age, and why it was that your family felt something was wrong, and how did you determine that you had celiac at such a young age?
Well, it started when I had lots of leg pains, had dark bags under my eyes, and I just looked very sickly. And then in 2008, when I was 9 years old, my doctor finally thought it was celiac disease. And so I had to get a blood test and then a biopsy. And then they found out I had celiac disease.
All right. Now, something about celiac that I don't think that most people are aware of unless they have someone in their family that has found that they've got it. It's an autoimmune disorder of the small intestine that apparently one has to be genetically sort of predisposed towards it, and it can occur when you're an infant. It's one of these things that sometimes it takes a while to figure it out. Was this a big surprise to your parents, and did anyone else in the family have this kind of a condition?
It was a big surprise, and no one else in my immediate family, but my cousin also has celiac disease. And that's the only person I know of in my family that has celiac disease also.
Uh-huh. So there are a few other people in the family tree, so to speak, that have had this. So it's as if Mother Nature bounces it around, and you were one of those that got it. Now, I am going to share a little bit of information with those of you listening that apparently it's a reaction, celiac disease is a reaction to gliadin, which is a prolamin, a gluten protein that's found in wheat. And there are similar proteins found in the crops of a tribe called Triticale, which includes other common grains such as barley and rye. So you really had to go through a major adjustment in your diet. What was the biggest thing that you found was a challenge for you personally? I'm sure it was a challenge for your mom and the rest of your family, but what was the biggest challenge for you?
Well, the biggest challenge was eating, I guess, sweet stuff, because that was most of the stuff that had gluten, like all those doughy stuff. And I guess that's kind of how I mean, I cook with also.
Now, you love to cook, or love to cook, not loved, but love to cook. And at 9 years of age, did your mom let you in the kitchen?
Well, I didn't start when I was 9 years old. I actually only started last summer.
So this is something that just recently evolved, where you decided to become proactive then in making your own, shall we call them goodies, the sweet goodies that you love so much. Mm-hmm. Now, with your mom and your family, what kind of adjustments? Because I know that we may have some listeners that have children that have particular patternings, and they wonder, gee whiz, could it be wheat? And this is something that has been coming to the forefront in a lot of people's minds more than ever before, because we're seeing on restaurant menus gluten-free cooking. I was in a restaurant just a few days ago, and they had gluten-free menu, and they had quesadillas made with rice tortillas. I didn't even know rice tortillas existed. And, you know, it's just amazing here. So with your mom and with your family, were they sort of in a quandary? I mean, did your mom have to fix a special meal for you and then a special, you know, the regular stuff for the rest of the family? How did your family go through this adjustment?
Well, I guess it was pretty hard. Like, I know for dinner lots of times when we would have pasta, my brothers wouldn't really like my gluten-free pasta. And so we'd have to make two pasta. And so that would be hard. And there's lots of other stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went on the gluten-free diet, and this is something you were told you had to do. I mean, I don't know of many kids at the age of 9 that are going to go, oh, goody, goody, I get to go on a gluten-free diet. Because you're going to be eating much differently than most of your friends. Was it really difficult for you? Did you find yourself cheating every once in a while? And what was the biggest benefit that you felt physically when you started doing the gluten-free?
Well, I guess I started benefiting from it, I guess, maybe a year and a half ago. Because before that, it was just really hard to live with and stuff. But then, I guess, after that, I don't know, I just thought of it in a happy way instead.
So you made up your own mind then.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling like you were deprived, you said, okay, I'm going to start doing something. Now, you talked about how you had a croup, and you ended up being given steroids because of this, and you got asthma. You would often have to use a machine called a nebulizer.
Yeah.
And you said you hated it. You just hated it because it just really limited you. And then when your family moved to Seattle, because you had been in New York, you, at the age of 5, wanted to play the cello. And the reason you liked the cello, you said, is because it reminded you of Jell-O. And I had to chuckle when I read that, because I thought, we forget how we associate with things and what triggers a positive effect with us so many times. But you really liked the instrument, and you really wanted to be involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
However, your family loves Italian food and Argentinian food.
Yeah.
And you said when you were in New York, of course in New York, my gracious, you got a restaurant every 5 feet. And it's just absolutely a wonderful place to be. And when you were told about this gluten-free stuff, you said, I've got to figure out a way of dealing with this. And so you started studying things then. Did your mom and dad help you with this? Who helped you with learning about how to eat gluten-free?
I guess both my parents helped me, and
Did you find that you had to go to the library to do some research?
Not too much. I read a few books about it online.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess after that, I just remembered everything.
And one of the things you found out about was the fact that when people found that you had a dietary restriction, you had to have gluten-free, people were very supportive. They didn't make you feel like you were the lone man out. They really helped you out, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Now, let's talk about your starting to bake. You're 13 years old now. You started this about a year ago, so you were 12. And Mom decided you were going to be okay in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Did you discuss with her what you were wanting to do with your recipes or what you wanted to try?
Oh, I guess, I don't know. I just started baking, and that's it. And then it was, like, last summer, I just enjoyed baking and giving it out to people and stuff.
I had to smile when I was reading about how you were doing recipes, and you were surprised to find that your younger brother was snitching them. He was taking off with them. And he said they're really, really good, that he likes them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said that you had a friend in your book by the name of Judy who introduced you to a woman, a young, well, I don't know her age, you didn't say, but her name is Shauna. And she had been diagnosed with celiac, and she blogs about gluten-free cooking and has also written some cookbooks, so I'm assuming she's a mature woman. And she was interested in working with you to present something to your fourth grade class about celiac disease. How, you know, you and Shauna, because you were introduced by a friend, that must have been quite exciting for you. Now, had you already started baking at the time you met Shauna?
Well, when I met her, I didn't start baking yet, but I guess that's when I started to feel better about celiac disease.
So did she, when you started baking, did you check in with her frequently to find out about any suggestions she might have?
Actually, not really. I just started in my trial and error. Well, there were lots of errors, but.
Now, you yourself have started your own blog, and you've been very much involved with that. You started baking, but you, and this is what your book is. It's Eternally Gluten-Free, a cookbook of sweets and inspiration from a teenager. And you really found that you had a knack for this. Who knows? Maybe you're going to have a career as a chef for gluten-free food. But you took it upon yourself, along with a couple of friends, when you were in the seventh grade, to create a website dedicated to baking gluten-free foods, and you also began filming baking videos. Boy, you were enterprising kids. Now, you have baking videos that are on the internet?
Yeah, on YouTube.
Okay. And then you decided you were going to sell some of the goodies that you made to your friends, and you have just been going on from there. Are you still doing that? Or are you still selling?
Not anymore.
Not anymore, All right. Now, one of the statements that you say in your book, one of them that you make in your book, is you say there's a difference in having a dream and making your dream come true. Anyone can dream, but if all you do is dream without putting effort into achieving your dream, then your dreams won't come true. I am interested in the fact that you, one of your aspirations is to become a movie director.
Yeah.
And that's something that you've incorporated in working with your friends to making these videos that you're putting online. And you've already started this very intriguing and interesting life that you, even though you were diagnosed with celiac disease, you're going to be able to move forward. Now, what I want to do, I want to share some of your recipes. So let's talk about that. And one of the things about gluten-free, you say you people must remember when they're baking, the xanthan gum is very, very important because it is the substitute for yeast, standard yeast, that is used in most breads. And you've got all kinds of very interesting statements that go, and photos of the items that you have made. So let's chat, because all of this is going to be about goodies. This is all going to be about the yum-yum stuff that most of us will say, oh, gee, I just can't have it. And you're going to say, yes, yes, you can. So these are some of these are really favorites of yours, and I think some of them are favorites of a lot of people. And I bet you're a hit at the parties that you go to when you bring in these goodies, because there are many people that would say, I just can't have them. I just can't have this stuff. So they say no to it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And that could be really devastating and really annoying for lots of people, because there's lots of delicious stuff at parties, but most of it has gluten in it. And so some people would just not want to go to the parties and stuff since there's nothing to eat and they'd get too tempted.
That's true. That's true. Let's talk about something that in Sunday breakfast for a lot of people, they just absolutely love, and that's pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have a recipe here for pancakes, and I wanted to ask you, do they melt? Do they rise at all?
I guess, no, not too much, actually.
Okay, so they're not going to get high and puffy like what you see on the packages of pancake mix and what you often experience in restaurants. So these are going to be sort of a thinner pancake, but this is really good. So for those of you listening, get your pad of paper out and pen, because I want to share this recipe with you. And you can also get his wonderful book, Eternally Gluten-Free. Anyway, the pancakes, it's a 3/4 of a cup of sweet rice flour, 2 cups of white rice flour, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 3 eggs, 2 tablespoons of, you use canola oil, 3/4 cup of sour cream or yogurt. Now, it's interesting. You don't use the low fat in this at all. You use the regular sour cream or yogurt, and then you have 1 teaspoon of baking soda and 1 1/4 cups of milk. And you say the batter should be light. You sift the white flour, the rice flours, into a large bowl, and then add the rest of the ingredients and whisk until it's combined. The batter should be light and not stick in the whisk. And then just cook them like you would ordinary pancakes.
Yeah.
What's your favorite topping for your pancakes? Share your favorite recipe.
My favorite recipe? I have a lot of different favorite recipes. I guess they're all for different things. Like, I know my carrot cupcakes, everyone says, like, you can't really tell they're gluten-free, and so lots of people enjoy those ones. And then, I'm just looking through the book. Oh, my red velvet cupcakes, I love those because of making them and the color you get when you add in the red food dye.
Oh, that's right. Those are the red velvet. Let me look those up. And you also have something. Well, why don't you share that recipe? Give the ingredients in the recipe and the directions on that.
In the red velvet cake?
Yes.
Okay. So 1/2 cup shortening, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 3/4 cup sugar, 3 eggs, 2 ounces red food dye, 2 tablespoons cocoa powder, 1 cup buttermilk, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, 1 3/4 cup white rice flour, 1 cup tapioca flour, 1 teaspoon xanthan gum, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 2 tablespoons vinegar, and then first preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Then cream the shortening, salt, and sugar together. Add the eggs and beat until combined. Make a paste by pouring red food dye on the cocoa powder in a separate bowl. Add it to the cream mixture and mix until it is incorporated and it's all red. In a separate bowl, combine the buttermilk and vanilla. And in another separate bowl, combine the flowers and xanthan gum. While mixing the cream mixture on medium-low, pour in some of the buttermilk, then some of the flour, and so on, ending with the flour mixture. In a separate bowl, combine the baking soda and vinegar together and fold into the cake batter. Pour into your greased cupcake in and bake for half an hour or until a toothpick comes out clean in the center.
And you have a topping to go on that yummy cupcake. Now, do you use a cream cheese? What do you use for the frosting on your red velvet cupcakes?
I just use the regular frosting. I use, instead of using butter in the frosting, I use shortening in it, because shortening gives like a nice white color instead of butter, which gives a yellowish white color.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I know cream cheese is supposed to go on it, except it didn't sound too good to me on it. So
uh-huh.
I decided not to have that.
Okay. But you also have various toppings in here, and one of the things that I found really fascinating, now this book is just loaded with lemon bar recipes and all this kind of thing, but you put a recipe together for pretzels, and I thought, wow, this is significant, because obviously pretzels are wonderful to have, and they're nice and crunchy, and people just love them. You can get soft, medium, hard pretzels, depending on what your preference is. And they have all these places in the malls that you can go where you get them. But, of course, if you need gluten-free, you're really in a pickle because you can't. But you can make your own. And you say they can be sweet or savory. And you say there's a legend about pretzels, which I thought was really charming in your book for you to mention. It's about an Italian monk who made pretzels as a reward for children who learned their prayers. The pretzels resemble the arms of a child praying. And I was really, really intrigued with this, and I didn't have an opportunity to try it, but you have a picture showing the pretzels laid out, and you've given the recipe, and it's really simple. It's a teaspoon of sugar, 2 tablespoons of warm water, 2 1/4 cups of white rice flour, 2 cups of tapioca flour, 1 1/2 teaspoons of xanthan gum, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, 2 egg yolks, 1/2 cup of melted butter, 1 cup of water. Then you need 1/2 cup of baking soda and 4 cups of water. And here are the instructions for this. And this is really marvelous, because if you have children and if you yourself enjoy this kind of a treat, it's so easy to make. In a small bowl, you mix the yeast, sugar, and warm water and let it sit for about 10 minutes or until creamy. And then in another bowl, you combine the dry ingredients. You make a little hole in the center, add the yeast mixture, collapse the flour over the hole, and stir with a wooden spoon until you can no longer see the yeast. Make a hole in the center of this and add the egg yolks, water, and butter. Collapse the flour and knead until it's stretchy. Boy, that must be fun to work with. Knead until it's stretchy. Then you cover it with a kitchen towel, let it rise untouched for at least an hour or until its volume has increased a little. Now, Dominic, you say increased a little, so it's not going to puff up to the degree that a normal flour pretzel would, correct?
Yeah, because I wasn't too sure. Like, I tried lots of doughy recipes, and whenever I made it, the dough didn't rise up a lot. So I can say until it rises a lot, because that's not true.
Okay. Now, your oven has to be 450 degrees. Once your dough has risen a little, and you're going to have to be aware that it's not going to raise a great deal, you put it on a floured surface and you divide it into approximately 12 pieces of dough. Roll the dough into a rope and form it any shape you like. And then all you have to do is, you know, make it like your picture that you've got in here. And then you say the water and baking soda, you mix that in a small saucepan over medium heat until it dissolves, then reduce it to low, and then you dip each pretzel into the baking soda mixture and put it on parchment paper on top of a cookie sheet, Sprinkle it with salt and then bake for 8 minutes or until brown. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you do something different with these pretzels? Can you actually stuff them? You'll see stuffed pretzels in the store. Can you do that?
Well, kind of. But you have to be really careful, and it's probably not going to turn out great the first time. And so, well, all you do is you flatten out like the rope and flatten it out as much as you can. Then you put, like, not too much stuffing, only a little stuffing, like, in the center. And then roll it up really careful and close it as tight as you can. But the problem is putting it in the baking soda solution. That's when it gets really hard because the water can mess it up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be really careful.
I wonder if you could use a brush and brush the water baking soda solution on them. Does that give a nice glaze on the pretzel?
Yeah, that's what turns it brown.
Aha, there we go. So that's the secret. So if you wanted to fix the pretzel gluten-free recipe, maybe you want to stuff it with some cheese or peanut butter. That was always a big thing that kids just absolutely loved, peanut butter stuffed pretzels or cheese stuffed pretzels. So maybe using a brush with a water solution mixture, brushing over already the formed aspect and the formed pretzel, and that would work. Now, with this, I would imagine that you have so many friends that just love to have you fix goodies and bring them to the parties that you go to, because it's really a conversation piece to talk about food. But food is, there are so many different things that affect different people, and when you can share recipes like this with others, it really is significant. It makes a difference. You have lemon bars in here, and I'm just surprised at the different types of flour. And one of the company's flours that you use is Bob's Red Mill, and I use his products, and they are just wonderful. So Bob's Red Mill foods are just absolutely wonderful, and you know that they're going to be what you want them to be in texture, and it saves you a lot of work. If you have to grind your own rice, believe me, that takes time. Been there, done that. But for you now, Dominic, you have a blog. Tell us how people can get to your blog.
So you can go to gluten-free, the name of my blog, .com.
All right. Now you need to speak up, Dominic. Your voice went away when you turned your head. So give it again.
So you can go to gluten-free, the name of my blog, .com, or just search my name or the book, and you'll probably find the blog there.
Okay, let me just make sure I have that correct. Go to www.eternallyglutenfree.com. Now, is there a hyphen between gluten-free in your setup there?
No.
No hyphen. Okay, so eternallyglutenfree.com, and you'll find recipes, you'll find all kinds of information regarding this young man, Dominic Cura, and that's D-O-M-I-N-I-C-K, Cura, C-U-R-A. This is a 13-year-old young man who has put together his first cookbook. He has a condition called celiac that had changed the life of his family, and as far as food goes, and yet he's become very proactive and cooking his own food, and because he had a sweet tooth, he said, I want to have something that I can enjoy. And it has created a whole new world for him. Now, Dominic, do you think you're going to be writing another cookbook about any other food areas that you enjoy?
I'm thinking of doing another edition of my book and having more dairy-free and maybe some vegan recipes, too, for people that aren't just gluten-free.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll have some more of those recipes possibly soon.
All right. And do you have friends that are happy to volunteer to be your taste testers?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're very honest with you. And does your family get involved with the taste testing as well?
Yeah, always.
Always. My guest today has been a very special young man, Dominic Cura. He has demonstrated a number of things. One, at 13 years of age, he decided that he was going, actually at 12, he was going to take the initiative and get involved with his own food. And since he had the sweet tooth, like I said, he started baking things. He got to know some other people that were involved in the working with food for people that have celiac disease. And instead of taking himself down or feeling sorry for himself, he's turned things around. And what a wonderful example, I think, Dominic Cura is to all of us, saying to us in his own way by, one, publishing his own cookbook, but two, telling his story. So if you're interested in this, check it out, eternallyglutenfree.com. And Dominic Cura, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being with me today. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I really enjoyed Dominic, and I know that all of us at some time have to step out into the world and assert ourselves in our own way and manner, and I just have a great deal of appreciation for young people that show the positive side of life. So much conversation is heard about how youngsters are going to the dogs, and I have to chuckle because I remember a conversation many, many, many years ago with a minister who said, and at the time I knew him, he was in his 60s, and he said, when I was growing up, and at that time he had come from an environment from the Midwest, he said, I can remember the older people telling us when I was a kid how kids were just such a mess, that they were just going backwards, they'd never do anything, they were just so destructive. And he said, I've heard it from every subsequent generation that has come around. And I think that many times we make assumptions because we are not aware of how many young people are, as every generation, are eager to learn, to grow, to do, to develop things. And Dominic is quite a special young man because at the age of 13, one, he's published his own book. Two, at the age of 12, he took the initiative to start creating his own food. And three, he was willing to learn from other people. He was willing to talk to other people. His story is quite interesting. But it bears validity for even we adults. We need to know that dreams are not something that we should abandon just because it doesn't fit in with someone's paradigm of a practical nature. We also need to realize that we can expand and explore into different worlds of understanding, different environments. It's so important for us to be open, awake, and alert to what's going on around us. Even with just people we might meet somewhere that are perfect strangers, being open to conversation. One of the biggest components I feel in life that we have to deal with is overcoming fear. And there are so many people that I am aware of that are terrified of doing certain things, maybe because they might make a mistake. So we all make mistakes, but we grow from them if we're willing to learn. But they're concerned. They're going to lose this. They're going to lose that. Or their whole life might change. They are filled with fear. And so their lives become prisons of their own making. And one day, maybe they will wake up and go, why have I wasted so much time? Why have I been so afraid? And my mentor many years ago taught me something that I'll just share with you. There was a situation I was in, and it was very, very draining emotionally, mentally, spiritually, even physically. I was being deeply affected. And it just was running through my head like a monotonous drone of negative, negative, negative information. And I was concerned. I needed to have a resolution. I needed to solve the thing. But I was so immersed in my confusion, in my repetitive thinking. I was like a hamster on one of those little wheels. Well, my mentor at the time, she listened to me, and I was repeating this again and again. And finally, she sat me down, and she said, Donna, I want you to tell me this is the situation you've been discussing. You keep going over it again and again and again. I want you to tell me the absolute worst-case scenario with this. Oh, boy, I went off on a heyday. And she said, okay, I want you to know that's probably not going to happen. Now, let's look at what a better case scenario would be. What's the optimum? And I told her. And she said, the likelihood is it's probably going to be somewhere in between. So you already figured out the worst, the ugliest, the bad of the bad. Why don't you spend just as much time working on the opportunity for making it better? It goes back to an adage I know you've heard about, looking at life as a glass half full instead of half empty. It is our perception. Our perceptions make all the difference in the world, and we all have our particular windows of perception, our particular paradigms. So what are we going to do with the paradigms we're dealing with today? We're always going to have challenges. They're not going to go anywhere. What are you going to do with them? How are you going to change how you view things? Are you going to be myopic, or are you going to be able to push that window so that it's not only wider, but also higher, open, so that you can bring in some new things? The universe has a very interesting way sometimes of providing us with opportunities. But if we are just so narrow-minded in our thinking, we can't possibly see them. We might be just always whining and crying instead of saying, gee whiz, I had opportunity around me all the time, but didn't know how to see it. And I think that that happens with all of us. I think we have to grow through that. And when we do hit brick walls, and we do get frustrating, when we find that our minds are just regurgitating all kinds of fear and negative stuff, a good thing to do, a very good exercise to do, is to sit down and write it out. Take time. I know we're all busy, but put yourself someplace where nobody's going to bother you, maybe on your lunch hour, maybe early in the morning, whatever works for you. And just sit down and write it out. If you wanted to, you could type it out on the computer, but I think it's better when you write it. Because one, it slows you down. And two, it makes you think. And so when you write it out and you look at it, that allows you to release some of that negative energy, but putting it into a perspective where you're actually seeing it so your imagination isn't taking you on trips. And then the next step is to say, okay, I've written this all out. Now I'm going to go do something physical. And that could be anything from scrubbing a floor to washing windows to riding a bike, whatever it is, but you physically do something that's a no-brainer. Somehow or another, there is a link that is broken with negativity and a link that will be established with creativity that allows you to problem solve or to be alert to what is possibly going to assist you. And synchronicity will flow in your life in a wonderful way. But when you write it down and then you detach and then go back, you have a, if you do something physical in the interim, it allows for a clarity. It gets the cobwebs out. It allows you to really see things from a different view where your emotions aren't taking you for a wild ride. Just try it. It's a simple little tip. It's nothing extravagant, but it's worked for me many, many, many times. And I've gotten to the point sometimes so that I don't need to write it down, but I find if I do write it out, there's a calming effect that goes on. If I just try to think it through, it creates sometimes a frustration. So thinking and doing are two wonderful partners. Remember, they can assist you handling a lot of difficult times. Donna Sebo here, and if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share something with you today. I got a wonderful email from one of our listeners, Angela, and she said she loves the recipe, she enjoys the show, but she said there are dietary restrictions that some of us go through, and she has a white cake recipe that she wanted to share, and she said you can adjust this in any way that you want, trying different things, but it's something that you might enjoy. If you are someone just like my guest today that is gluten-free, this is what her recipe is. She has a half a packet of stevia sweetener and a half a packet of stevia sweetener, and then about 1 tablespoon of coconut oil and 1 tablespoon of grapeseed oil. Coconut oil and grapeseed oil, 1 tablespoon, 2 eggs, 2 mashed bananas, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, or 1 vanilla bean that you scrape the insides out and put it in the mixture, 1.5 cups of brown rice flour, 1¾ teaspoons of baking powder. You can use 1/2 cup of soy milk, coconut milk, or almond milk, and as many carob chips or sugar-free, dairy-free chocolate chips as you want, or 1 little bar of Baker's chocolate, semi-sweet. And you mix everything together with a fork, pour it into a bread cake tin, bake it for 30 to 40 minutes. And she said, enjoy it with a cup of hot milk or let it cool and have it for breakfast. And she said, and then listen to the Donna Sebo Show. Cool recipe, huh? So I just thought I would share that with you. I also wanted to talk about a man. His name is John Deere. This is a man who has been internationally recognized for speaking about peace and nonviolence. He has been the director of the Fellowship of Reconciliation. It's a very large interfaith peace organization here in the United States. And he's really dedicated to helping people become empowered and understand that they can make the world a better place. And this is what he said. I thought I would quote it today. The future of humanity is a future of peace. That is our hope. War is not inevitable. Nuclear destruction need not be our destiny. Poverty and global warming can be stopped. We have to envision a new world without war, poverty, or nuclear weapons and work for its coming. That means we need to become a people of active nonviolence and move our culture from blindness to vision, violence to nonviolence, injustice to justice, war to peace. We can do it. But every one of us needs to work for disarmament and justice and become a visionary of peace, a real peacemaker. Those words are words that have been spoken by many, many different individuals through the centuries because they have seen the devastation of war. They have seen famine and so many other things that have affected people. And that is what I think we need to realize, that as individuals, we do have a voice. And as individuals, we can make a difference. Whether you're 13 years of age or 98, you do make a difference. Donna Sebo here, and I've got some other goodies to share with you today. I also wanted to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Mr. Von Martin, A Long Way to Nome. Von Martin is a man that I ended up finding out about because of one of my recent speaking engagements where I talked about someone that I had interviewed, Norman Vaughn. Now, Norman Vaughn was an Arctic explorer. Von Martin knew Norman Vaughn. But the fascinating aspect about my getting in touch with Vaughn is that one of the people in the audience, their daughter had just presented a paper at her school on Norman Vaughn, the last surviving Arctic explorer that was with Admiral Byrd, and he passed away in 2005. Well, this young lady, her entire family, are just fascinated with this, and they knew Vaughn. They told him about me. We connected. His book is just incredible, and it's all about the serum run in the far north. Then we're going to be talking on Wednesday with Asia Voigts, Pearls of Wisdom, and other information. This woman is a pet communicator, stealing the borders. Elliot Reyes, we are going to find out who can steal what, why, and how. And then on Friday, Scott Kennedy is going to be my guest. We're going to be discussing an item that comes from the sea, seaweed. And we will be able to find out why seaweed is so extremely important in food as it's being processed today, its many uses, but how it can create better health for people living on this amazing planet of ours, and all comes from the ocean. So we have that and more that we're going to be sharing with you this week. So I invite you to tell your friends and to share the information. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more good things to share. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Well, I wanted to share with you, by the way, you can give me a buzz if you desire to, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share some fun details with you. Walmart, my goodness, there's always been so much controversy about Walmart over so many different things. But I had no idea that there are particular items that they ban. Well, it makes sense when you think about it. And this is just a listing of just seven items that have been banned from any and all Walmarts. One is Barbie's Pregnant Pal. Now, this is apparently a doll. It's got the name of Midge. And it featured a removable stomach complete with deliverable baby. Mattel had put this out as part of their Happy Family. They also have the husband and the son. But they had so many complaints from customers about this particular Barbie that they pulled all of the Happy Family sets from their stores. Now, that is a biggie. Then also, they had a situation with undergarments for kids, and they had the cute underwear, somebody thought it was cute, saying for kids, little girls especially, who needs credit cards on the front when you have Santa on the rear? They started showing up in Walmart's junior department sections in 2007, And oh my goodness, information got on the internet and it just went wild and crazy. There was a perceived message of using Kris Kringle as a sugar daddy. That's right. Now, this joke or these words on a T-shirt, women didn't have a problem with them. It was mostly the mothers that were complaining. They said the placement on underwear added a sinister sexual undertone aimed at adolescent girls. So they pulled that from their shelves. And then there was a ban in 2005. Well, they had, this is what they had done. Walmart had unsuccessfully tried to force all employees to sign off on a 28-page code of ethics that included prohibitions on lustful glances and ambiguous jokes and sexually meaningful communication of any type. 28 pages? You've got to be kidding. In 2005, in November of that year, in Germany, the courts ruled that Walmart could not ban all workplace romance at its German stores. That's unreal. And then there were CDs that were banned and Cuban pajamas. That's right. There was a Canadian subsidiary that was selling Cuban-made pajamas. They only cost $8. And when the U.S. Treasury Department found out and the company's home office found out about it, they pulled them. That's right. They pulled the PJs off of the shelves, and they said it presented to a second problem. Now, this was in 1997. The action may have violated a Canadian law that forbids aiding or abiding by the American embargo of Cuba. So after the Ottawa government pointed out that Walmart could face a $1 million fine for pulling the sleepwear from its shelves, the Canadian Walmart reversed the ban after 1 week. International, national, rules, regulations, it's amazing stuff. And Walmart refuses to stock any music bearing a parental advisory warning for explicit lyrical content. But they just have turned away from certain CDs, DVDs, and just anything that they feel is inappropriate. It's gone. And then in 1995... there was a shirt that came out with a printing on it that said, "Someday a woman will be president." And this happened in Miami. They pulled the garment from its racks after consumer complaints. Now, this is what was on the shirt. It featured the character Margaret from Dennis the Menace. It ran afoul of the company's family values, quote unquote. So, in fact, the stockrooms. However, other things prevailed, and the shirt made it back onto the shelves after 3 months in limbo. So they went out stating, "Someday a woman will be president." The things that go on behind the scenes that you have no idea about. And that's something I think that's really fascinating. With so many companies, so many of these little fun stories that come out, and you go, how in the world do these things go on and nobody knows about them? Well, let's face it, we're all busy people. We've all got things going on. And how much time do you spend in a store? Good gracious. I very rarely end up going into stores and shopping, and many more people today are shopping on the internet rather than the other way around, going to the store. So we have just a fascinating, fascinating world that we're evolving into. And I've been reviewing some material regarding future projections, and we've just got so many wonderfully fascinating people that are going to be sharing their ideas, their concepts, and their knowledge, and I'm privileged to be able to bring it to you every morning. Now, quick few tips. If you want to save a lot of money, especially with energy and water bills this summer, what you want to do, and of course so many of us have already done this, you want to have a low-flow aerator for your water, like for your shower, etc. It just, you know, it's going to save you a couple hundred dollars a year. Changing your batteries from regular to rechargeable lithium batteries, they can save you, well, depending on how many batteries you have taking care of things in your home, it can save, close to $500 over a period of 4 years. So it's something where they've figured it out, depending on how big your place is, that those rechargeable batteries can save you close to $100, actually, a year, and use the dishwasher. God, I love my dishwasher. Couldn't imagine living without it. It saves the use of water. I really like it. So I hope you do, too. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time here. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Hope you can do the same tomorrow. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be in this wonderful world of ours. And we'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.